Mother Sachi said, "This consideration is good. In my opinion, if Nimai remains at Jagannath Puri, he may not leave any one of us, and at the same time can remain aloof as a sannyasi. Thus, both purposes are fulfilled." Text 183. Nila chale nava dvipe yena duhigar loka gada gati varta papa nirantar. Translation. Since Jagannath Puri and Navadvip are intimately related, as if they were two rooms in the same house, people from Navadvip generally go to Jagannath Puri, and those in Jagannath Puri go to Navadvip. This going and coming will help carry news of Lord Chaitanya. In this way, I will be able to get news of him. Tumi sabakarite para gamana gaman Ganga snane kabu habe tanra agaman. All you devotees will be able to come and go, and sometimes he may also come to take his bath in the Ganges. Apanara dukha sukha tahan nahigani tangraye sukha taha nija sukhamani. I do not care for my personal happiness or unhappiness, but only for his happiness. Indeed, I accept his happiness as my happiness. Shuni bhakta ganatangre karila stavan veda agya yaiche mata tomara vachan. After hearing Sachi Mata, all the devotees offered her prayers and assured her that her order, like a Vedic injunction, could not be violated. Bhakta gana prabhu age asiya kahila shuniya prabhu ramane ananda haila. All the devotees informed Lord Chaitanya of Sachi Mata's decision. Hearing it, the Lord became very pleased. Navadvipa vasi adi yata bhaktagan sabhare samana kari balila vachan. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered respects to all the devotees present from Navadvipa and other towns, speaking to them as follows. Tumi sabaloka mora parama bandhava, e bhiksha magon more deha tumi sabha. My dear friends, you are all my intimate friends. Now I am begging a favor of you. Please give it to me. Gare yangya kara sada krishna sankirtana, krishna nama krishna kata krishna aradhan. So we'll all repeat this verse. I'll do the first line again. Gare yanya kara sada krishna sankirtan krishna nama krishna kata krishna aradhan. Gare yanya kara sada krishna sankirtan krishna nama krishna kata krishna aradhan. Gare yaya kara sada krishna sankirtan krishna nama krishna kata krishna aradhan. Gare yaya kara sada krishna sankirtan krishna kata krishna aradhan. Gare yaya kara sada krishna sankirtan krishna nama krishna kata krishna aradhan. Gare yaya kara sada krishna sankirtan krishna nama krishna kata krishna aradhan. Hare yaya krishna sankirtan
Krishna nama Krishna kata Krishna aradhan.
Ladies.
Jaya Karasada Krishna Sankirtan. Krishna Nama Krishna Kata Krishna Aradhan. Gareya Karasada Krishna Sankirtan. Krishna Nama Krishna Kata Krishna Aradhan. Gareya Karasada Krishna Sankirtana. Krishna Nama Krishna Kata Krishna Aradhan. Gareya.
Returning home.
Kada.
Kindly do.
Sada.
Always.
Krishna Sankirtan.
Chanting of the holy name of the Lord.
Krishna Nama,
the holy name of the Lord.
Krishna Kata,
discussion of Krishna's pastimes.
Krishna,
of Lord Krishna.
Aradhana,
worshipping. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested them all to return home and begin chanting the holy name congregationally. He also requested them to worship Krishna, chant his holy name, and discuss his holy pastimes. Purport. The cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Hare Krishna movement, is very nicely explained by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu authoritatively. It is not that everyone has to take sannyas like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Everyone can execute the cult of Krishna consciousness at home, as ordered by the Lord. Everyone can congregationally chant the holy name of Krishna, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. One can also discuss the subject matter of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and install deities of Radha Krishna or Gaur Nitai or both, and worship them very carefully in one's own home. It is not that we have to open different centers all over the world. Whoever cares for the Krishna consciousness movement can install deities at home and under superior guidance, worship the deity regularly, chant the Maha Mantra, and discussing Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. We are actually teaching in our classes how to go about this. One who feels that he is not yet ready to live in a temple or undergo strict regulative principles in the temple, especially householders who live with wife and children, can start a center at home by installing the deity, worshiping the Lord morning and evening, chanting Hare Krishna, and discussing Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Anyone can do this at home without difficulty, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested all the devotees present there to do so. Om Jnanati Marandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Mukam Kavativa Chalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Sri Gurum Dinataranam Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gadama Hyam Dadati Svapadantikam. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested them all to return home and begin chanting the holy name congregationally. He also requested them to worship Krishna, chant his holy name, and discuss his holy pastimes. So this is an interesting instruction here. Sometimes we get so many instructions from the Lord personally and from Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes they're contradictory. And it's the duty of the disciple to resolve the contradiction and follow the orders of the spiritual master. So sometimes Prabhupada said, live in the temple. And here he's saying it's not necessary to live in the temple. And by this example of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by what he's instructing his followers, it's clear that he's giving them the instruction to worship Krishna at home, chant his holy names, worship the deity, discuss Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam at home. Of course, there's a little more to it, which I'll explain, but why is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu giving this instruction here? He's just taken sannyas. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All of his devotees are worshipping him as Krishna, Radha and Krishna combined. They all understand his identity. They know his mission, his purpose. And now he's taken sannyas. Yad yad acharati shrestas tad tad eva tarojana sayat pramanam kurute lokas tad anuvartate. Whatever a great man does, then the common men will follow. So Mahaprabhu is, although he's taken sannyas and he has his own reasons, which we've heard already, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, why he's taken sannyas, he's concerned that some of his followers may try to imitate or also take sannyas. Say, well, I'm going to take sannyas like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But unless one is completely ready and mature spiritually and is, in a sense, also ordered by his spiritual master, he should not take sannyas. Actually, the injunction for the Kali Yuga is one should not take sannyas in the Kali Yuga. Then there's the contradiction that Prabhupada also took sannyas, and so many of his other god brothers also took sannyas. Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasati Maharaj was a sannyasi. But we understand that sannyas a little differently. The sannyas of Vedic culture is one of complete mendicancy and traveling all over the world by oneself, with no dependence on any particular person or place, no home. Practically, you're a socially dead individual. But the sannyas of the Vaishnava, Vaishnava sannyasi carries a tridanda. Because the tridanda indicates that he is dedicating his body, his mind, and his words in the service of the Lord. And therefore he gives up for the welfare of the greater family of living entities, the human beings who require to become Krishna conscious. He's giving up even a Vaishnava devotee doesn't have comforts at home, so to speak, an advanced devotee. He's renounced even at home, which is the whole point here. We're living simply, chanting Hare Krishna, etc., which I'll discuss a little bit more in a bit. But the Vaishnava sannyasi, he gives up even the service or the worship of the Lord at home with his family, which is not a bad thing. But he gives it up for the higher benefit of the extended family of human society. So for that purpose, sannyas is acceptable. And Srila Prabhupada also said that I have given sannyas for preaching. So it's for preaching. So here's where the contradiction also lies. Because if everybody just chants Hare Krishna at home and worships their deities at home, then how can we run temples? How can we have deities, maintain big deities? These deities require full-time care, full-time service, all the time. Cooking, cleaning, sewing, flower garlands, chanting mantras, offerings, arati, so many things that the deity requires. And to do the same thing at home also requires a lot of attention. So if we all just take this instruction and just have our families Krishna conscious and go live it. Prabhupada even says here it's not even necessary to open so many centers. Just make your house a center for preaching Krishna consciousness. This is the Namhata of Bhaktivinoda Thakur also. He traveled even in his busy householder life. He himself went out and preached in the different villages all over Bengal and did the Namhata program and instructed people in the same way. Just worship Krishna, chant his holy names, read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and teach the same to others. That is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction. Become a guru and preach Krishna consciousness to all others. What's the thing? Krishna Upadesh. Everyone should become a guru and teach Krishna consciousness to others. So it's not that Mahaprabhu is telling them just go home and be in your little home comfortably and do bhajan either. That's not the instruction here either. The instruction is also congregational preach. Go out in your towns, your villages, and do congregational chanting, have programs in your home. So essentially, as Prabhupada says in the first sentence here, the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Hare Krishna movement, is very nicely explained by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu authoritatively. So it's not an excuse just to go home and do bhajan. It's because the real instruction is to do the program in your home, but invite other people and make them Krishna conscious. And by preaching Krishna consciousness, you become more Krishna conscious also. And Prabhupada also discovered in his in the formative years of spreading Krishna consciousness that sometimes the grihastas were more successful than the sannyasis. And therefore he would send them all over the world to open temples. Because the combined husband and wife team would have a greater effect in the preaching arena than just a single renunciant going somewhere and trying to open a temple. However, both have to be there. So here's where we have to understand the contradiction. It's not really a contradiction. The instruction is that both things have to be done. Temples have to be there to maintain the deities so that other people can come and hear about Krishna. So many instructions in Prabhupada's letters and throughout his books, reading in the fifth canto, and everywhere on here, Prabhupada said, the Hare Krishna movement is this, and the Hare Krishna movement is that, and the International Society for Krishna Consciousness was created for this purpose and for that purpose, etc. He's talking about a movement in terms of his society. And then, of course, there's the greater development of the society into Varnashram and so many things of that nature, by which the society will be there of devotees, and they all come together and chant Hare Krishna congregationally together in the temple, and they also go out. Like every Friday, the devotees from here go to Gainesville and do Harinam Sankirtan. So both things have to be there, because without the, quote-unquote, the transcendental institution, then many people will not be able to advance. Because this is, you could say, the temples are, at least in Prabhupada's time, the temple is like the base, the military base. And from the military base, the Sankirtan army would go out and distribute books and preach. So that must be there. If that's not there, then half the program, half the movement is missing. Half the movement is missing. That kind of balance needs to be there. Those who are the dedicated, who have given up their families perhaps, or they're even the renounced grihasthas. Prabhupada encouraged renounced grihasthas who would live in the temples or in the temple vicinity and spend their entire energy just preaching and doing service for the deities and to spread Krishna consciousness. And therefore Prabhupada also started Gurukul so that the children of such grihasthas could attend a Krishna conscious school. So it was all a tight-knit, complete system that Prabhupada created for ISKCON. And yet here he's saying it's not necessary to open temples, and don't think about imitating Lord Chaitanya and taking sannyas. Just go home, chant Hare Krishna, read the books, and preach, and spread Krishna consciousness in that way. Practice Krishna consciousness in that way. So we have to see one is not better than the other. One is not necessarily more important than the other. Just like the head is not more important than the legs or the arms, etc. It's all part of the same transcendental system. And both things need to be there. So that's kind of how I look at this sort of contradictory instruction. But another point that's made in the purport, very important, it's part of the compassionate nature of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also. Because in the Vedic system of progressing spiritually, renunciation is very important. And yet, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has lowered the bar of renunciation in a sense. At least externally, he's lowered the bar of renunciation. But in that sense, he's also given the highest standard of renunciation, which is anyabhilashita shunyam dhyana karma anavritam anukulena krishna anushilanam bhakti ritama. And the other verse, sarvapadi vinirmuktam tat paratvena nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhakti ritama. And the other verse, yukta vairagya uchite iha yasya harir dasye. So nirbandha krishna sambandhe yukta vairagya uchite. So many instructions. So, but that, those verses, and particularly the last, is that nirbandha krishna sambandhe yukta vairagyam uchate, dovetailing everything in Krishna's service, not just dry renunciation or giving everything up, but yukta vairagya, engaging everything in Krishna's service, or also accepting what is favorable for devotional service and rejecting what is unfavorable for devotional service. Just like Shachimata, she's saying here, I do not care for my personal happiness or unhappiness, but only for his happiness. Indeed, I accept his happiness as my happiness. So she, this whole story is how to keep Lord Chaitanya near, but not too near. How to keep him near enough so that we can see him and hear about him, what he's doing once in a while. But because he's a sannyasi, he has to follow the formality of sannyas, so he can't stay with us in Navadvip with his family. So how to resolve that contradiction? So she requests, if Mahaprabhu stays in Jagannath Puri, then we'll be happy and he'll be happy. But she's not looking for her own happiness. It's not like when we talk about a devotee's happiness. Sorry, I must have said something wrong. A devotee's happiness, yes, a devotee wants to see the Lord, he wants to serve the Lord and get his association and darshan and make nice offerings and prayers and glorification with the Lord personally present. therefore the Lord appears as the Archa Vigraha for that purpose. So that is the Lord, the devotee's happiness also. But if it pleases the Lord to do something else, then that's also the devotee's happiness. So he accepts what's favorable to the Lord's service, and he rejects what's not favorable to the Lord's service. And in that way, things get dovetailed properly, the right mood is there. But I wanted to point out that, yes, I said that this is the compassionate nature of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is one, Prabhupada says here, one who feels that he is not yet ready to live in the temple or undergo strict regulated principles in the temple, especially householders who live with wife and children, can start a center at home by installing the deity, worshipping the Lord morning and evening, chanting Hare Krishna and discussing Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So here is the key. You know, sometimes, you know, in the early days, we would encourage everyone to move into the temples. Again, there's nothing wrong with that. However, many discovered that they were not able to follow strictly the temple lifestyle and program, and they would move out, and we would say, oh, they blooped. They blooped. Or they become a fringy. What a terrible word, fringy. And, you know, would use that example, that word bloop comes from Prabhupada once describing the sound of the jiva falling into the material world. It's like a pebble falling into a puddle of water. Bloop. That's how that word came to be. So, but this is not, no, we don't view it in that way anymore. There's no black and white. There's a lot of gray in there. So nowadays we have home programs and encourage people to stay at home and chant Hare Krishna, because the Lord has given that concession. In this age of Kali, all we need to do is chant the holy names of the Lord. We don't need to take sannyas, we don't need to be strict renunciates, etc. We just have to chant Hare Krishna and read Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita and preach the same thing to others. And we will advance in spiritual life. Now my addition, if you want to say, I'm not trying to add something to it, but I would say that as one gets towards the later stages of life, it might be recommended that he should live by a temple and do more direct service in the temple or to the mission of the Lord. It's like my own personal self, that I prefer at this stage of my life to be doing more direct service to Prabhupada's society and helping spread Krishna consciousness in my elder years than going out and working and just bringing in some income to maintain a family, a Krishna conscious family. I feel the need to be doing something directly. So somebody may feel that need, that urge, that desire, and therefore, as a society, ISKCON is also working on devotee care and maintenance so that devotees can actually function within the preaching mission and at the same time maintain families without having the encumbrance of income and finances. Money. Always a problem, money. But we haven't gotten to that stage just yet. But at the same time, we do also want to preach and make full-time devotees. So again, we're saying it's not two contradictory things, but you have to have the missionaries and the spirit of preaching going on full time, full swing, and you have to have those who are exemplary householders living outside and spreading Krishna consciousness through programs in their homes. And then those who are the full-time missionaries should be going out to those people's homes and doing the programs in those people's homes and instructing them and teaching them and setting the right example. It's all a perfect package. And so this is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction here, his spiritual program of spreading Krishna consciousness in Kali Yuga, the Sankirtan movement. As Prabhupada says here, the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very nicely and described this Krishna consciousness movement in an authorized way. So I'll stop here, and if anyone would like to add a comment or have a question, thank you. Hare Krishna.
You mentioned about the head, but many times Prabhupada said it's more important than the feet, but other times he said we worship Krishna's feet, so obviously feet are very important. But but you said you could live without feet, but not without a head.
Right, yeah.
Belly also, he said, you cannot live without belly. Although Brahminical life means to reduce eating and sleeping to nil, so you may not need a belly if you get that advanced. But without a head, head was always stressed. The Prabhupada was trying to create, you know, people with Brahminical. It's interesting that in 73, if I'm not mistaken, which sometimes I am actually, the Prabhupada stressed in the installation ceremony in L.A. that we shouldn't worship at home. You should worship, and you can check out the lecture there, but he said if something made some reference that if your puja at your house was as good as the temple, which is doubtful for us, six artiks a day. But yeah, at the same time, he was encouraging people who don't, a lot of people don't want to spend money to come over and gas money, whatever it is. Or, you know, they may live far away, actually. So then they can do it at home and be very happy there like that. But of course, that means it's doubtful. Usually it's not as great and wonderful, the temple, even if, and you will admit, the temple deity service or deity paraphernalia, everything is so much more wonderful than usually at someone's house, but still they do it at their house. It's okay, but obviously if everyone's in their house, people are invited to come to the temple, no one's here when they get here, then something went wrong, right? I mean, in the old days, people joined because there was a lot of activity at the temple. And come into evening arti, there'd be, you know, 150 people jumping around, just like they might have seen in the street, which they may not see now too much, but obviously the temple's an important thing. Everybody's staying home, the temple's empty, it's obviously ridiculous.
And then it becomes, it's like Prabhupada saying when he went to Europe, I think it was Europe or London, so many churches, but they're all empty. You know, one day a week people come for an hour or 2 hours and then they go home. So we don't want Prabhupada's temples to become like that.
Well, isn't it, what's the definition of Kanishtha? Is you only see Krishna in the temple? It means you only see Krishna in your house? Is that the way it's supposed to? When we always encourage to go to the Majjhima platform?
Anyway. Yeah, the spirit of the old days of ISKCON is a very, very, very unique time in ISKCON. I hope that one day it'll come back, and that mood of many devotees living in the temple environment and creating that atmosphere that was the temples were surcharged with in those days. That's what attracted people.
I think it's clear from the purport that Srila Prabhupada says have deities in your home and hear and chant about the activities of the Lord, just like Lord Chaitanya told his devotees. However, that being said, that doesn't really touch the missionary spirit of Prabhupada's movement. And if everybody's got 100 deities at home and they're doing their puja, that's fine, that's nice. But that's not to say that we should forget the whole point of Prabhupada's mission. And I've noticed just in my years around temples in the last 20 years that there's less and less devotees participating in Prabhupada's basic programs like the morning programs and the Guru Puja and the class. This is one of the biggest temples in the world. And what is there, a dozen of us here today listening to class? I just think that it's really important that the devotees should remember that if it wasn't for the missionary activities of Bhaktisiddhanta and Bhaktivinoda Prabhupada, we wouldn't have any of this, no access to the Lord, whether he's in your house or at this temple. So it just, to me, I don't understand how anybody who's been around Bhaktivedanta Swami could miss the point that Prabhupada wanted to go out and give Krishna to every living entity and go out of their way and do it. And Prabhupada used to say, practically I'm whipping them, go out and distribute. And we'd go out in O'Hare, we had 30 devotees in the airport. We were doing 700 big books a day and hundreds of little books a day. And we'd send that score, and Prabhupada would say, very good, now double it. And yeah, or did he say, go home and worship your deities? I don't think so. So the point I'm trying to say is that anybody that's ever heard one sentence from Bhaktivedanta Swami should have learned that there was an urgency, a fervor in Prabhupada to save every living entity. However you do it, whether it's Harinam or Prasadam, like these college programs with Prasadam, it's wonderful. This is missionary activity. I also believe that if devotees participated in temple programs, they may become enthused. I think that's why Prabhupada set this up, so we would congregate, get together, and hear and chant. And like Pushkar said, the standard at the temple is a million times better than anybody's so-called Pukka Puja at home. And the Pukka Puja at home, like, who was it? I think it was Radhana Swami was saying that the Puja at home is your schedule. But this Puja, this is Krishna's schedule. And I think everybody knows who does service here that there's always tons of service that needs to be done. It seems like every morning Mukhi announces, we need somebody to make a sweep, we need somebody to do an offering, we need somebody to make a garland. And I know a lot of devotees and they all have deities in their homes, but it's not exactly like they have a center in their home where they're doing preaching activities all the time. Now if everybody was so busy out there preaching, I don't think it would be so obvious that there's people that aren't enthused about Prabhupada's mission. It's just my opinion.
I was just thinking before Divyanga Prabhu spoke that you were saying how you wish the old days can come back, and or the mood of the old days where everybody wanted to live in the temple, but my realization has been, or my experience has been also, that things go in cycles. All of Krishna's creation goes in cycles. And we kind of develop the different cycles individually, and now we have to put them together. So then we'll always have people living in the temple, we'll always have people living outside, we'll always have people moving back into the kind of mood of service after they've gotten finished with, you know, artha and kama. and then ultimately now we're seeing some people have to prepare for their final stages of life and they have to become a little bit more internal, due to maybe physical reasons, you know, or whatever, they just wind down. I've been doing some research for a project I'm working on, and Srila Prabhupada kept saying over and over again, I just want to read and chant, I want to take this management off my back, I want to write the books, you take care of this stuff. So even he saw that at the end he just wanted to preach, he just wanted to focus, and his preaching was writing very much. So I think we need to just establish that there's going to be people in every sphere, and we have to respect each other, and all of us, from wherever we are, have to work together to push on Prabhupada's movement, so that, you know, the temples become an oasis in the middle of whatever, and, you know, however big the circumference is of people around. And everyone, even from remote corners of the world, is working to increase the number of people. the number of people coming to Krishna consciousness. But I think the old days where everyone lived in the temple, and we thought that everyone was living in the temple eternally, that's not going to come back. But everybody should live in a temple for some period of time and then go out and then maybe come back when they've gone through their stuff. So it becomes a cycle. And I think if we establish that cycle, we'll constantly have an enthusiastic, dynamic temple existence as well as an enthusiastic, dynamic congregational existence.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
You know, I'm sure most of you are aware, the Buddhist, is it Buddhist in Taiwan or Thailand? Yes. All the grown-up sons have to be a monk for a year. They're all required to live in the monastery, the whatever, the temple, for 1 year and be a celibate monk. And of course, Mormons, their youth, they send them out preaching door to door. So many. They have a very established system for how to deal with different people, different stages of their life. Anything else? 1 minute. Okay, thank you very much. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Those were the days, my friend, we thought they'd never end.